enterprise service, so that might mean that I could combine like a sunrise message and this message and just keep right on preaching. I'll keep it short. I was thinking too, have you ever held a newborn baby? And this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Lisa brought a little baby this morning. You look into the face of innocence, and just makes you praise God for the hope that we have in the Lord. I was sitting there, I was wondering too, like, what if there is this conversation as death has reigned over Jesus? And so death asks the tomb, is he there? And the tomb responds to death, of course he's here. Tomb is sealed. Another day passes, and death, great cynicism, says, tomb, he said he would rise again. Is Jesus there? And the tomb laughs. Of course, his body is still, he's cold. He's dead. That's what the tomb is for. And then time passes. An evil death breathes, tomb. Is Jesus there? And the tomb says, no, he has just risen from the dead, and the stone's been rolled away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, I don't think he would say, but I say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't that thrilling? I was thinking, too, like, devils, or spirits, say, you get a lot of them, maybe all of them in one place. See, that man, you know, name is Legion. He's just full of all these many, 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 many devils. Can you imagine if devils anywhere interested in many things, but most of all, what's going to happen to Jesus? Maybe hanging around inside the tomb, and sure he's cold, and sure he's dead, and sure he's still. He's not moving. There's not a sign of anything. But then all of a sudden, he's alive, and they go, uh-oh, we're in trouble. I mean, how quick? And I knew as soon as Phil started singing this morning, hit the second line, already my eyes were misting up. It's like, this is a very special day. Sure, it's Holy Week. Holy Week. Holy, holy. And God, I believe, is over this service and meeting with us here. And the enthusiasm of Peter and John rushing to the grave. There's all of this. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. There are hundreds of Bible prophecies, many of them from way before the life of Christ. And Isaiah in 700 BC said, one day Cyrus be king of Persia, defeat the Babylonian Empire, and Jews will return. At that time, when he wrote that, Assyria was the great world empire. Jews were safe in their homeland. It's like, how would he know anything like that? But then Cyrus, who had not been born, was born, and he did become king of Persia. And Persia invaded Babylon, overthrew Babylon, and he allowed the Jews to return to Israel. Exactly. I mean, even with a name predicted, prophesied there. 900 years before Christ was crucified on the cross, before there's anything like that, because the Romans had crucifixion for about 300 years. Distinctly, the Bible described way back in time what crucifixion would be all about. And then for those 300 years or so, when the Romans ruled, then Jesus was crucified. Old Testament prophets said he'd be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And he was. Said soldiers would gamble for his garments at the foot of the cross. And then who in the world's heard about Bethlehem? Bethlehem's so small, we wouldn't hear about Bethlehem except for the birth of Christ. But it was 700 years before the birth of Jesus, where the prophet said he'll be born in Bethlehem. And so, you know, we think about Jesus and the resurrection. The story's not over at the cross, thank God, or the tomb. Hallelujah. And Jesus was, I've witnessed many, many times to Jehovah Witnesses on the streets. And they're peddling their magazines. That's what they did in Canada. They just stand there, a couple of them together. And they're scared to death of the truths of this book. And so I just share with them. You know, Jesus said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up. It takes God to raise Jesus from the dead. Jesus said, I will raise it up. And then after he was crucified and raised again from the dead, disciples remembered that he had said that. And he said, as he preached, as Jonah was 3 days in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man raise. Jesus told his disciples that he would go to Jerusalem, he would be killed, and he'd rise again the third day. Even his enemies understood that, and that's why they guarded the tomb. They said, this deceiver said, he's going to rise again from the dead. We're going to guard the tomb. So he put something like, you know, a tape around a murder scene or something as the police come and they seal it off. And they sealed off the tomb so nobody can get in or out. They had a guard unit, 16 men. At least 4 would be awake all the time. And so how Jesus get out of the tomb, either people did steal Jesus out of the tomb, who would do that, or God took him out of the tomb. The disciples were running like scared rabbits on Friday. They aren't going to come up against a Roman guard to try to steal him away. They're scared to death. And they remain scared to death until they saw the risen Lord, and then nothing could stop them. The Romans weren't going to take Jesus out of the tomb because they were determined to keep him in the tomb. They were determined to keep him dead. Why would they take him out of the tomb and just go like, well, what happened to him? Well, maybe he raised him. No, they don't want that message out. So they didn't take him out of the tomb. You know, religion will say, or skeptics will say, you know, why Jesus died? Maybe he just chose to die. You know, you got terrorists to go out and blow themselves up. And then why would the disciples be willing to change from who they were to these courageous worldwide evangelism witnesses for Jesus Christ? Because they knew Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, people may die for a lie if they believe the lie is the truth. If Jesus was dead, forever dead, the disciples wouldn't risk their lives for a lie. But they knew he'd risen again from the dead. And my friend, we just learned today, or at least I just learned today, that churches in Sri Lanka are being blown up by the Muslims, and some hotels there. There's over 200 people dead. And we got brothers and sisters, you know, persecuted all over the world. How people actually, atheists on the internet tell me that it's not a fact people are dying. Christians are dying. Muslims are not killing Christians. So I reminded them today, like, if that's what you think, what's this in the news? Over 200 dead in one place. Syria had well over 1 million believers, born-again Christians, and Iran, if you can believe that. But over 200,000 of them have been martyred, killed for the sake of Christ. Now, why would anybody choose to die except they know I've got a risen Savior? And because he has risen, we too shall rise. I was just so thrilled this morning looking at the news. They're featuring the City Union Mission. The news lady was talking, interviewing, and she said, "It's never too late." The news lady said, "People can come to the Lord." I thought, I love it. And then there was a man there from the Lenexa Baptist Church, and they were there feeding people today. And he was one of those street people in the past. He was one of those hopeless people in the past. Couldn't find hope in this old world. And then he came to Jesus, and he talked about how Jesus Christ changed his life. And they showed this picture on the City Union Mission wall. He's the God of second chances. Wow. And even the disciples, after they had run in fear from being associated with the Lord, a little servant girl's talking to Peter, "Aren't you one of those that follow Jesus?" "Oh no," he's terrified. He couldn't get out of there fast enough. They didn't know Jesus would raise again from the dead. They're doubtful about that. If they did, they could camp out at the tomb on Saturday night and wait for him to rise again on Sunday. But once they knew, oh my friend, the world couldn't stop them. In fact, almost all of them were martyred for Christ. So what we're doing now today, along with actually millions, you think of over 200,000 just in Iran, millions have been martyred for their faith and belief and confidence in the risen Lord. And because he has risen, we too shall rise. And we know that. And it thrills us. One day we'll be with the Lord. So it's awesome. Perhaps God is speaking to you this morning. I think he's speaking to all of us, frankly. I mean, the Spirit's moving and our atmosphere is speaking to me. Maybe God is pleading with you that you, if you would just acknowledge Jesus Christ, that there are no credible scholars in the world today that deny that Jesus lived. They know that from even secular history. They know that he died on a cross. That's obvious fact. But has he risen again from the dead? Well, God is waiting to know what you believe about this. The pivotal point of all of history, throughout all time, is when Jesus died on the cross, then he rose again from the dead. That's our hope for eternity. If we reject what Jesus did on the cross for you, God will have to reject you from entering into his heaven. What is there anything hard about just saying God? You say, "I'm a sinner." I agree with that. I can look into Elisa's little baby's face and say, "That's a picture of innocence." But I know what I've done in my life. I have sinned. I have sinned against you, Lord. And you will not let sin into your heaven, but cleansed by the blood of the cross. And you say, "Come on in." All you ask of me and the others is, will we say, "Jesus, I do believe, and I want you." And God says, granted, granted. You're part of the family, in your mind forever. Maybe that's you this morning. You just want to say, "God, you've been dealing with my heart. I am concerned about this. I do care about where I spend eternity." And dear friends, say yes to Jesus. It's what I did. It's what others do. That's what millions have done around the world, willing to die for Christ. It's our way to glory. Yours too, if you accept Christ. Please do. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just a wonderful time together. And God, it's good to see, oh, there's talent. Good to see people use their talent. But willing hearts. It's good to see willingness, but also such a devotion to worship you, which is true of so many here on this resurrection morning at Fairhaven. God, we just want to honor you and glorify you. And God, where you're speaking to any of us, easiest thing to do is just say, yes, God, yes. I agree with you. Change my life. Use my life. Because I want to live like Jesus. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.